find your religion mysterious? I mean, if you suddenly figured it out, if your light bulb went on and you said, I see it, I understand everything now, would you be disappointed? Do you like the supernatural mystery of it all? Pastor John Schmidtke was telling Paul Clayton about all the sound effects that he really appreciates.
I want a timpani roll as well.
Now he is a sound effect.
I heard the timpani. Who was that you did that with? Was that Ron Rawl or somebody?
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah, I was like, trying to forget that. No,
that was awesome.
Let's see. I don't remember. I'm ashamed of myself. I should be able to remember that.
And here's the text for today.
And the timpani roll was played for... I can't remember. I just don't remember. Good morning and welcome to Pastor John Schmidtke, who's like having more fun than
kid in the candy store.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're in good mood. What's going on?
It's a good day. It's a good life.
Really?
I'm going on vacation.
When's
Woo!
That
going to
start?
I'm leaving Friday. Well, no. Back up. If you go to the Bethlehem Lutheran Church at this moment, we need you to turn down your radio for just a moment.
Uh-oh. You going to reveal a secret?
I'm going on vacation Friday. I won't be at church Sunday.
Uh-oh. You want me to preach for you?
Sure, if you want.
That would be an interesting moment.
We're still... it'd probably be a good moment.
Yeah,
we're still at that place where, you know, sometimes... most people will be there, but... some people are in the, you know, when the cat's away version.
Yeah.
All the pastors away.
The mice will play.
Yeah. Let's get brunch. We've always been talking about it. Here's the Sunday.
So are you taking it to the streets this summer?
We are taking Jesus to the streets. We've had a great, great beginning of taking Jesus to the streets. And we've been out six or seven nights. And really the Lord has opened some incredible doors. And then Monday, we started music theater camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, music theater camp. This year, they're doing, we talked about Kid in the Candy Store, Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
And so July 8th, Wednesday, July 8th, which coincidentally will be my next appearance on the Bible study.
Oh, yeah.
At 1:30 that day.
Oh, you'll be jazzed that day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 1:30 that day and 6:30 that night, there will be a presentation of Willy Wonka. It's about an hour to 70 minutes when they finally all learn it all. And it should be pretty good. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about mystery today.
Mystery.
So what are you going to do for those people who like their mystery? You don't want to ruin their lives or anything by explaining it to them. So what are you going to do?
Mystery. Well, you know, not all mystery is bad. If, I don't know if you've... When you looked at that word mystery for the first time, not for this Bible study, you've seen it many times, but the first time that I would see the word mystery in the Bible, I was kind of put off a little.
Yeah.
I thought everything was supposed to be like straight up
exactly.
and clear.
That's the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. But the longer you live, I think this is true, the longer you live, especially as a Christian, the more you see that the faith has this mysterious quality. The mysterious quality of grace, mercy, is another mystery. I mean, when you know this consequence should have happened because of this action, and it doesn't, only because of the mercy of God. And you're so grateful for that.
Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or a comment for Pastor John Schmidtke, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in St. Louis, you can access the program. Come on live with us. At those telephone numbers, let's begin in prayer.
We ask, Lord, that you would be with us today and that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us and give us understanding to this text. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with those who are hurting, those who are going through days that are just hard today and in whole assortment of circumstances. Pray that you would show that your presence is among them and that they can be confident of that because of your amazing love for us in Jesus Christ. You have chosen to be our Father and chosen us to be your children. not because we look so good, but because Christ was there for us at the cross. Now bless this Bible study day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Schmidtke, there are at least two kinds of mysteries, it seems to me, that a person can encounter, a thinking person can encounter. There is the mystery that is associated with the ends, you know, the means to an end, that kind of thing. Sometimes the end is simply imponderable. It just cannot be explained, no matter how many different means you use to evaluate it. The Trinity is kind of like that. Three in one, it's just we have no mechanism with which to understand that. But then there are other mysteries where the means are the mystery. So that when you sort out the means, suddenly the ends become clear. For example, Jesus dying on a cross, God dying on a cross, that seems to be just utterly ridiculous. That doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
But once you grasp the exchange where one person stands in punishment for another, so that, well, then that starts to make sense and the mystery is removed. Do you think we have an means mystery today or an ends mystery today?
I have no idea. I know what you're talking about, but I never thought about that with this text.
Let me read these.
Yeah.
We only have five verses.
We're only
here.
Five. Yeah, and you missed the verse that I really love, 6 and 7.
6 and 7? Can we? Sure, we can add that.
Yeah, 6 and 7.
A flexible program.
6 and 7 is like
it
the best.
It cost you $10, but...
That's why I brought my friend along today. She's going to pay the $10.
By the way, introduce us to your friend here
this morning. Yes, one of our members at our church, Sashane Chin. She's interested in broadcasting. Wonderful Christian young lady, a college student at Lindenwood. Is that right, Lindenwood?
And a basketball official.
And a heck of a basketball player.
And which means she's okay with us.
That's right. That's right. Ring the bell on that one.
The bell was.
Oh, the bell's gone. Okay.
Okay. So, I'll go ahead and read verses 6 and 7 as well.
Okay.
And then I'm going to listen to you talk today. Listen to you teach, and I'm going to try to figure out whether we have a means mystery.
Okay.
Or an ends mystery.
Okay.
Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving."
Those last two verses are, by the way, are wonderful. I use those on Confirmation Sunday. That's a, you know, everybody gets their confirmation verse. 6 and 7 are a wonderful confirmation verse. Let's back up into the first verse of chapter 2. Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. What kind of struggle is he talking about there?
A mysterious one.
A mysterious struggle. It's a prayer struggle. He is struggling. He's praying with great passion on behalf of the Colossians and then also Christians at Laodicea. And then he says, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Now, there's a weird idea. Praying for people you've never met or haven't seen in a whole long time. By the way, that's something we should just pause and note about. The Church of Jesus Christ, all those who believe in him, invisible, right? We know where it is, wherever the word of God is preached and the sacraments are administered properly. We don't know who are members of it because we can't look into people's hearts. So the church is bigger than just the church if you go to church on Sunday that you see on Sunday morning. Now that's something huge right there. the church is bigger than the church you just see. Because usually we focus only on who we see. You know, the church, our family.
And in your own church, the church may be smaller than the one that you see.
Exactly. Yeah, it might even be, you can't even, you know, I mean, you've got issues with some people in your own church. But what he's doing here is Paul's reminding us that right at the beginning, I've been praying for you and for the Christians in Laodicea, and I've been praying for even those that I haven't seen for a while, some that I maybe have never met. That gives us a vision of our prayer life, too. Now, why is he praying for them? I'm not sure. I didn't get to hear much of Colossians thus far. Have you gotten into the whole Colossian heresy stuff and what were the problems?
Just superficially.
Okay. Let me just give you a flavor. What were some of the problems that were going on in Colossae? One problem that was going on in Colossae, and you're going to see this, is this stress on needing to obey Old Testament laws and ceremonies, human regulations. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll summarize that in a minute in a practical way. Another thing that's going on in Colossae is they're really struggling with Christ as God, the deity of Christ. That's why, as you covered chapter 1, there's, you know, one of the best descriptions of who Jesus Christ is all throughout, like start at verse 16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, invisible and invisible. You know, that I just went over that with in confirmation class last night. By him all things are made, and in the book I use, it just has that singular verse. I said to the people we were working on confirmation, I said, okay, who's the him there? God, Father, Son, mm-hmm. or Holy Spirit? And they all said, Father. And I said, nope. That's a trick question. Jesus, right? Reminder to say that even though it's like a drama, even though at creation, Father's in the spotlight, Son Jesus Christ is there, and Holy Spirit is there. Like at redemption, at the cross. Who's in the spotlight? Jesus. But Father's there, Holy Spirit's there. We know Holy Spirit's there too, remember, because who is the person who got the centurion to say, surely this must have been the Son of God? Then you get to Pentecost. Someone else is in the spotlight as well. Who's in the spotlight at Pentecost?
Peter. Holy Spirit.
No. Jesus. Holy Spirit never takes the spotlight.
0-2.
Yeah, you're 0-2. Yeah, here comes the pitch, Mr. Umpire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus is always in the spotlight. That's one thing about the Holy Spirit. He never takes the spotlight. He's always working behind the scene to work faith. So, saying all this to say, back in Colossae, these Christians were living in a place in which there were many different false ideas about God. There were also some Gnostic influences. Gnostics, matter is evil, flesh is evil. It's all Gnostic, having to do with gnosis, gnosko, the Greek word for knowing. It's this secret knowledge about God that we need to get. I'll tell you. Let's go deeper. Got any crystals we could hold? Can we hum together? You know, that whole business as we would, you know, portray it here. If you would, in 2009, if you would summarize this all together, I think you could say it this way. All the false ideas about God back then and the false ideas about God that are all over our world today still, would come down to this. There's got to be something more to do for me than just faith in Christ. Or, number two, there's got to be something deeper to know for me that I need to know than just the Savior Jesus Christ. And you think about that. That's the battle, isn't it? It's a battle that even as Christians we face too. You know, we had to go out into finding New Age people and all that. That's the follower of Jesus battle that you and I face. You know, when you approach faith, there's got to be something more. Now, remember, you know, unlike John Lekomsky, I am a I love James. I love James. Mm. But, and John does too.
You guys are like matter and antimatter.
But see, faith, James thing is faith is always living. It's always a live faith, you know. It's a faith that's active. It's never your, what you do is never a replacement for your faith in Lord Jesus Christ. You can never save yourself. But every time we receive the Word of God, and then we take the Word of God, God's promises, and we look at life, we always have this tension that we live in as far as thinking, oh, for God to handle it, there's got to be something that I've got to do. He didn't do it as quickly as I wanted him to do it. So, he must be waiting on me. Well, he's waiting on you, but he's not waiting on you to do it. He's waiting on you to get it, that he's going to work in his time and according to his way. Many times, as we look to the scripture, we think there's got to be something deeper, too, than Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ for sin. When I come to the Bible, yes, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures. I want to grow in learning more about the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples indeed. So on the one end of the spectrum, hear the word of the Lord, which says, grow to know me better through my word, which reveals me. On the other end of the spectrum, receive that if you've come to the realization of sin, I'm not where I should be with God because of sin, and here's God who has sent his son Jesus, not because I deserve it, but out of his grace and mercy and love, to take my place at the cross, so that when I sin, I bring my sins before God, I repent of them, he forgives me on account of Christ, and I'm new again. On the one hand, the message is I'm going to grow to know the Lord more in the scripture. On the other hand, this message of the gospel, the good news of what God's done in Jesus Christ, is what I'm going to live over and over and over and over. To say, on the one hand, yeah, there's things for me to grow and to learn in the scripture, to grow deeper, yeah. But on the other hand, if you've come to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of your sins by God on account of Jesus, you have it all. Does that make sense?
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. It is a mystery.
But I think it can make sense.
When does it make
sense? If I can get through the mystery.
When does it make sense? When does the mystery become clear? That mystery we just talked about my encounter with the Word of God and with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when that really comes clear?
No.
For me, I'll bet this is the same way for most of us. It comes clear for me every time when I come back to the scripture and I think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. Well, I kept this word. I kept that word. I kept that law. So I thought, turn the page. Oh! I thought I was getting better. Whack. No, I fell short again. You know, and that's the dynamic of life, isn't it? Somewhere in the scripture it says, be careful, pride always comes before a fall. And so my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the hard part of it. My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the mystery, is always one of dependency. The mysterious quality about that, or not the mysterious quality, the hard quality about that is, I hate dependency, except for if I'm going to depend on myself. Because I've learned...
You want to be independent.
Yeah, because I've learned too many times in my life...
You depend on somebody else, they let you down.
They let you down. There's only one person I can trust.
Want a job done well, do it yourself.
Got to do it myself.
Parents ever tell you that?
Oh, yep. So here are these Christians in Colossae, back to chapter 2. And they're in the midst of a lot of different false ideas about God. But you could summarize them all in this, same things we face today, where some people say, hey, faith in Christ, you've got to do something more. You know, you got to keep all these laws. Secondly, no, there's got to be some kind of deeper knowledge. There's got to be something more than Jesus. They're trying to battle and deal with that. Also, remember, Christians, followers of Jesus, they're in the minority. What does it mean to be in the minority when you got all kind of different views around you?
It's a struggle.
Yeah. Because you keep hearing, you know, you keep hearing on the one side, you haven't lived good enough. You keep hearing on the other side, you don't know enough. You keep hearing it. And what are all those messages? It all comes back to you. And the message of the good news of Jesus in the scripture is, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about who Christ has been for me. You say, wait a minute, that's kind of hard. Because if it's about Christ and what he's done for me, then I have no control of it. Exactly. I don't like to be out of control.
No, but you can't understand it. It's kind of like when you go over to, I've never been there, but if you were to go over to England,
uh-huh.
Oh, they've got a mysterious way of driving over there.
Oh, yeah, they're on the other side.
They're on the other side of the road.
They're crazy.
Now, you get to an intersection, and you're just doing everything you can to drive on the left side of the road, and you want to turn right, and your instincts are going to tell you to get on the right side of the road as you're going through that intersection, but no, you got to remember to stay on the left side. But you can understand that.
Yeah.
That's the way everybody in England drives. They drive on the left side of the road. It may feel like a struggle. It may feel mysterious because these people are crazy. What are they doing? But you can understand it. Do we have that kind of a mystery?
The mystery that we're in, though, is, well, you know, now you hit another mystery. We're in Colossians. We're going backwards. Turn left in the Bible. End of chapter 3 of Philippians. Paul said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory by the power that enables him to subdue all things unto himself. Here's another mystery. I'm supposed to feel like I'm at home, but I'm not at home. How do you become...
And now, Pastor John Lukomsky.
Schmitke.
He's going to tell us why we should continue to listen on the other side of the break. Go!
Whoa.
Too late.
Bible study is underwritten by Concordia Publishing House and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, South Jefferson and Miami and South St. Louis. CPH is the publishing arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Its purpose is to strengthen and aid member congregations in their proclamation of the gospel. CPH serves the family by providing Christ-centered materials that nurture Christian growth in the home. CPH and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts. CPH.org.
On the next special edition of Adventures in Odyssey, Ryan and Nelson are trying to cover up a crime they committed together.
Don't you think there's something weird going on? Like what?
Somebody suspects us.
And will Valerie take advantage of a weakened mayor to take over the whole town?
Remember, Valerie Swanson for mayor.
On the next special presentation of Adventures in Odyssey, Kidsboro.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute?
I was reading those amazing opening chapters in the book of Job the other day. You remember, this is where Satan is allowed by God to tempt Job when in succeeding waves his cattle, sheep, camels, servants, sons, and daughters are all taken from him. Then Satan afflicted the patriarch with loathsome sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. The book of Job summarizes these horrible days with the following two verses. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, we know that 40 chapters of agonizing reasoning follow these verses, but my point here is that the uncertainty around him never changed Job's confidence in God. Job was so uncertain about his situation that in the very next chapter he spoke to his wife, he screamed out that he wished that he had never been born. Yet Job never quit calling God his Lord. St. Paul is walking along the same side of that street when he tells his Corinthian friends in the New Testament, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." St. Paul reminds us that this trust in God's promises is a down payment or a guarantee of what is to come. Lord, may we read your word faithfully, so we may gain hearts of wisdom, and then teach us to hold on to the promises that you give us in that word. For we pray in the name of Jesus, God's promise to us come true. Amen.
AM 850 KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, June 10th, 2009, Rick Rowe. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in thanksgiving to God for many blessings and for 85 years of KFUO radio. Once again, a very special thank you to Rick Rowe of Trenton, Illinois, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsor. A long time ago, when I knew less than I know now, it was time to change the propane canister on the barbecue. You do a lot of barbecuing, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm pretty natural. No propane.
No, oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. I'm just a propane kind of guy. So, being the manly man that I am, I grabbed my wrenches and pipe wrenches and everything, and I mean I broke a sweat. I'm out there twisting and struggling all the strength that I got. I'm not getting anywhere. I finally realized, I guess for in the propane industry, in the propane world, tightening is counterclockwise. If you want to loosen, you have to go clockwise. It's backwards.
Uh-oh.
And after, I don't know how long, you know, I'm just gnashing my teeth and weeping and carrying on, I just went the other direction to see if it might possibly be true. And it was. Out it came. It took like 15 seconds to, you know, pull that gas line out of that propane tank. It was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Man, for about 20, 25 minutes there, it was a mystery, I want to tell you. But when I finally realized that I was operating in a different configuration, that's all it was, just a different configuration, then everything became clear and was really quite simple. And I'm kind of thinking maybe that's what we have going on here today.
That's a good illustration.
Because one of the mysterious things we've been dealing with here in the end of Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 is, hey, if I'm in the family of God, if I'm a child of the Father, if Jesus is my elder brother, if I'm dying and going to heaven, why am I struggling?
Yeah.
It's kind of mysterious. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about that in the last couple of days. We actually came to the most mysterious conclusion, and I don't know if you'd agree with this or not, that struggling is a gift.
Hmm.
And I know this, if God would remove all the adversity from my life for about even 15 seconds, it would take me about that long to conclude that I am now God, and I don't need him anymore. So maybe struggling can be a good thing. Paul seems to indicate here that it is. But for many folks, that assertion is going to be quite mysterious. What do you think?
Struggling, oftentimes God uses to put us into his sweet spot. The sweet spot position of receiving his blessings. And you hit it there. When we get out of the sweet spot, the non-sweet spot, the sour spot, is when I look more into myself. The sweet spot is when God takes me to my knees. You know, it's interesting. We've talked about this before. I'm always reminded of it by the clock we've got in here. We got this cool clock on the screen here that takes the hour sweep hand and, mm-hmm. you know, pulls it down and around. And remember how that worked? We talked about Israel. You know, Israel was smooth and doing great things. And, you know, they were being blessed by the Lord. And then as they would move toward about 1 or 2 o'clock, they would think that the reason they were being blessed by the Lord was...
because they were such hot people.
Hot people. Hot people. Oh, yeah.
Israel.
Yeah. Just sort of like
we
us
have
today.
Abraham for our father.
Things are going good, Lord, you know, and I thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. Not that you did it all, helping me. Yeah, you did most of it, but you helped. Well, the hand kind of moves more down toward 3, 4. Around 3 o'clock, God kind of taps on the shoulder and said, helping? Did you want to change that word? Like maybe I did it, you watched. No, I think helping, Lord, and we're moving toward 4 o'clock.
As a matter of fact, you're kind of in the way now.
Yeah, exactly.
You just step aside.
You haven't done it on my schedule, Lord. Yeah. I mean, you're a little late last week, you know. Okay, so we're moving toward, like, you know, the 4 on the clock. The tapping on the shoulder from God has now become an open hand, little slap. Yeah, pal, little slap. But the problem is I'm not responding to the slap, you know.
And actually so, kind of resenting it.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing to me? Hey, did you forget who's running this show here? No, you forgot. And so now the open hand starts to become a closed fist. Remember that scripture, it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of a mighty God. Wrath, you know which one I'm talking about. We're moving down toward 5. We're getting toward 6. He's tried to tap me on the shoulder to say, excuse me, remember who is running this. Worship me. He's opened his hand to say, this is not you, this is me. I'm still not getting it. So he's got to come, you know, with a significant punch. Not to hurt me, but to help me. You know, you're going to realize the position that you need to be in for blessing. And I love you so much that I'm going to bring you there. You know, big karate chop, whack, I'm down on my knees. Now I get it. But it takes all that to get to that position.
And that's because we're forever twisting the connection on the gas line the wrong direction.
Yeah. And then when I get to my knees, he's a gracious and merciful God who then comes with the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cleanses me. He lifts me back up and he puts me again into the position of blessing. And I'm moving again back to 12, you know, back to the top of the second hand. And then, you know, you would think after I went through it one time, after I went through it two times, after I went through it three times, I would get it, but I don't. I don't.
Amen.
You know, and now here's like the mystery. The mystery on the one hand, there's so much mystery. The mystery is, well, here's a mystery. When my kid does the same thing, one of my kids did the same thing 10 times wrong, and they keep coming and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, please forgive me. After I get to the 10th time, I say, if you were sorry,
you wouldn't do this anymore.
Yeah. Now, if I'm in the dad position, I understand that. If I'm in the kid position and I'm really sorry,
you don't understand it.
I don't understand it. I understand that he would forgive me.
Always worked before.
Yeah. Well, if I'm trying to manipulate him, I understand that.
Yeah.
But then when he does forgive me, and when he doesn't, mercy, here's mercy, he doesn't give me what I deserve, I'm like, whoa. And I'm back on my knees. And I'm just praising him and saying, I know where I could have been. And you didn't let me because you love me. So to bring this back around, I think I'd agree with that. Yeah. Sometimes God will use struggle. Now, you can tell this. He is never the author of sin. So he's never going to say, hey, you go over there and sin so that you can get whacked by me. No, I'm the one who chooses to do the sin. Now, he will allow trouble in my life. Maybe some of the explosions of other people. If there was an explosion on my block, you know, those horrible tornadoes. The thing is, rarely do you just see the tornado hit one house and everything else in the subdivision is untouched. Sometimes that happens, but usually not. Usually there's damage that shoots all around. Sometimes he may use the damage from somebody else's life to affect me. Not because he wants to hurt me, but sometimes to warn me. Say, hey, you know what, I gotta do this.
You need a drum roll?
No. No drum roll.
Okay.
This is very serious.
Mm.
Sunday at our church, we had somebody in our church who got pregnant, who's not married. And this person is, they have a role of leadership in the church. And they came to me, and they were long before Sunday. And they were in tears and repentance. And I asked them, we've done this at our church at times when there's been a public sin. I said, I would like if you would be willing to come on Sunday morning before the church and stand before your family to make sure that we can clarify a few things. Number one, we're not going to come here trying to, as an inquisition. You've come already and repented. But the family needs to hear that this was not of God from you. This was sin. Number two, as you've mentored or talked to other people, you know, youth, kids, you know, been a role model, they need to hear, do as I say, not as I did. This is wrong. Number three, we need to declare publicly the grace and mercy of God via your repentance and to remind all of us here that God has not held this sin against Christ, paid for it, and so none of us can hold it either. Because we've worked through confession and forgiveness. Now, here's what I wanted to say. Thankfully, both the young lady and the young man had the courage to do this. Before we got to declaring the repentance, the forgiveness, as they were bringing the sin, that was a hard moment.
It's making me squirm just listening to you talk about it.
But it was good to sit for a moment in the serious moment of sin you know, for us as a church, it was good. Everybody was there. Because, you know, as we were looking up, as I said to the church, this was sin here. But what you and I were thinking was sin, too. Some of us here didn't carry through on what they did, but we thought it, we planned it. Some of us carried through, but there was no baby that came through it. It's all sin. We were all in it. You know, sometimes God will allow us to sit for a moment. What am I? I'm saying that it was an incredible moment to sit for a moment. It was okay to be uncomfortable. Because I started to get that thirst in my throat that I wanted somebody to tell me there was still hope. And there was God saying, there is still hope. That's why I sent my son, Jesus. You know, and that's the mystery again. And where was the hope in? It was in Christ. It was in a person. It was in a particular place. It was at a cross. The reason that was so powerful is that, see, you know, we go through life in our world and, you know, our world, it's like the pipe wrench you were saying, you know, going back. It's so commonplace. Sin's so commonplace. And we who are in Christ through faith, been baptized, we get caught up in it too. It's so commonplace. It's no big deal.
So when you went through this, I'll call it an exercise in your church, that's probably...
That's a good word.
Is that okay? When you went through this exercise in your church and part of it was very hard.
Yeah.
Was there forgiveness then?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it powerful?
Very powerful.
Can you explain in a kind of a scientific way or a psychological way what was going on in that exercise?
There was weeping. There was celebrating. It was a mystery.
But as you went through this mysterious exercise, did you get a glimpse of all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Did you get a glimpse of that?
Yeah, yeah. When we said it's a mystery, I got to clarify that. It wasn't a mystery of how. Because the biggest thing in our whole sanctuary is a cross. We all knew how. We're glad of how. We all knew whom? Jesus. The mystery was in why. And I still don't know, except that he loves us. That's the mystery. And, yeah. And when you talk about why would he give a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance? Well, I can't explain. I just know what it is.
So that...
It's grace.
In this, I guess we could say, awkward moment, as you said, it was hard. In this awkward moment when it could have been bitterness,
mm-hmm.
anger,
mm-hmm.
frustration,
mm-hmm.
condemnation,
mm-hmm.
disgust,
mm-hmm.
instead it was forgiveness and grace. And mercy, and love. How did that happen?
Holy Spirit. That's an easy answer. Well, you know, when we did it, by the way, when we did it, we all were standing. I had everybody stand on purpose. You know why? When we talked about the sin, we were all standing.
Because we're all sinners.
Bingo. And then we're all standing for the forgiveness. Because we all need it. We all received it in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Why, I think you just shed some light on the mystery there.
The mystery's in him.
Because if everybody stands is the judge,
yeah,
then you got one outcome. If everybody who stands is the accused, you got a different outcome.
Yeah. And now bring this back to Colossians chapter 2. See, that's what Paul wants the Colossians to know as they are the counterculture, as it were. They're not the majority. They're the minority. Like you talked about your propane tank. You know, they're the unusual part of it. And in this prayer he prayed, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf for those who are Laodicea, for all those who are not who have not personally seen my face. Now here's what I'm praying about. Three things. That their hearts may be encouraged. I'm praying that you would be strengthened. Contrast that with instead of giving up or instead of giving in. Giving in as in giving in to the sin. Giving in and just saying, well, you know what? It happened, this sin. You know, I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm saying it happened.
Ambivalence.
Everybody. Nobody's perfect. Exactly. But everybody's got to deal with the imperfection. Now, either you're going to deal with it or Christ is going to deal with it for you. I choose B. So Paul says, I'm praying that your hearts might be encouraged not to give up. There is hope. Or even in the instance of what I talked to you about, what happened at Sunday at our place. What if there's just, and here's where some of us get sometimes. We get into the repentance mode in the narrow sense. God, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. This was sin. I was wrong. I don't know how you can ever forgive me. And that's where we stay. I'm pitiful. Yes, so you are. And
we're all
pitiful. And there's no hope. That's right. And
Jesus.
And you gotta get to Jesus. Faith. Remember, repentance in the narrow sense, I'm pitiful. Repentance in the broad sense is repent and believe the good news of what God's done for you. That's like if I got cancer and I go to the doctor. He says, you got cancer. And I believe his diagnosis. I got cancer. And in the middle of the table is the cure for cancer, the pill. But I don't believe that can affect or it was for me. And I'm just going to die with cancer. I'm going to die with sin eternally. Except that I believe what God has done for me in Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's take a telephone call here before our hour gets away from us. Hi, Rick, you're on the Bible study.
No, thanks for taking the call. And it's a good thing we have a pastor on the air today that loves the book of James.
Hey, put that timpani on, Chuck.
Because of our sin and the consequences thereof, even though the couple, when they came forward Sunday, they humbled themselves in the sight of the Lord, and he exalted them to a higher elevation. That's what happened.
Pastor?
Yeah, exactly. It was all, he exalted third person. Somebody else does the exalting.
So, we're pretty short on time here. I just have one final thought. I know you like to wrap it up, so let me just sneak this in before we run out of time. I know that there are things about God that are beyond our reach, beyond our grasp. And there is no mechanism that fully reveals him in every way to us in this life. He is the creator. We are the creatures. We will fall short of that. But I tend to think that most of the stuff that we regard as mysterious and bizarre and is because in the Garden of Eden, Adam said, I'm turning my pipe wrench the other direction. That's what I'm doing.
Well, it wasn't his fault. It was Eve who did it.
Well, you know, they grabbed a hold of that pipe wrench and they stripped the threads.
It wasn't her fault. It was the serpent who did it.
And ever since, we've been trying to go counterclockwise in a clockwise world. And so we bring our counterclockwise mentality to everything we read, and it just doesn't seem to work. We're twisting, and we can't get it tightened up. And we declare it a mystery when it's not really all that mysterious at all. You're just turning your wrench in the wrong direction. And as you read more scripture and you see more things, that, death is going to undo death. Then you begin to put two and two together. You get four, and you turn your wrench in the other direction, and suddenly lots of sections in the Bible open up like a flower. Not all that mysterious at all. What do you think?
Well, it's only the mystery. The mystery opens up in a person. Back here in Colossians, Paul was praying, number one, I want you to be encouraged. Don't give up. Okay? Don't give into the world. Don't give up. The second thing he said was that their hearts may be encouraged. I'm praying that you would be knit together in love. Don't be divided. Be joined together. And then the third thing he prays for is what brings it all together. Your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. I want you to be confident. And then he says these key words, that is Christ himself. It is a mystery why God would love us and choose us to be his. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how a baby, when you look at that baby come out of the womb and the baby's cute, it's a mystery that that baby, according to the scriptures, is born sinful. Not just born sinful, was conceived in sin. Sin already in the mother's womb. Mystery. Can't understand that. It's a mystery that even as we would live our life, we're seeking to make progress as Christians. We keep having these, we keep reverting back. Never can, you know what, sin's like a piece of a gum on my shoe. I can't flick it. Can't flick it off. Can't get to the place where done with it. And that's not to say that in the life of sanctification, you and I don't seek to follow Christ. But here comes the mystery again. Flip, even as I seek to follow Christ, even as I seek to grow in following him, I seek to get better and better, I never get over it. Here's the mystery, uncovered. Jesus Christ came to give his life for you and me, which covers every part of your life. And that's God's love for you and me as we live this life until he takes us to the next.
Pastor John Schmidtke on our Bible study coming up next. In the next hour, Pastor Waldemar Vanovskis, Concordia McCungee, Pennsylvania, for Ask the Pastor.
Supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.